Well, happy Thanksgiving week, church family. I know when you look around, you see Christmas stuff, but we haven't even made it to Thanksgiving yet. So I guess it's officially, I've been hearing from different ladies, it's officially time to decorate for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving or that weekend, right? So we're kind of ahead of the game. And that's because you're all invited to Thanksmas on Friday, December the 1st, to come and enjoy a big meal, a big Thanksgiving meal with us, where we remember the faithfulness of God. And at the same time, we embrace the coming season of Christmas, where we remember God's true faithfulness through sending Jesus to this earth, God with us, to make a way for us to ultimately have the hope that we have now, right, during the seasons coming up because of what Christ did on the cross. And so I'm grateful for everybody who got in here and helped us decorate. I'm grateful we got to be a body together and do that together and just kind of begin that celebration a little bit early. You guys are all welcome. And today I'm also thankful that we get to gather like we do every week as the Providence Church family, remembering what it means, Providence, the word that we've chosen as our church name. It's a place of new beginnings, a place of origin. And I pray every week that this could be that kind of place for anybody who walks through this room, that somebody could come in and hear the word of God and have their life transformed and changed. And it could be one of these times they look back on in their life and say, hey, I remember when I learned that truth and how it's changed my life moving forward. It given me hope and peace and all the things that God's done, and just well up in us a sense of gratitude. Today, we're going to be talking about that. God in his sovereignty allowed us to go through Ephesians verse by verse. And it just so happens, and this was like not a big strategic plan at all of mine. I just kind of did it the way that I thought we needed to talk about these things. But we're actually going to be in a verse that specifically talks about gratitude today. And I hit on it a few weeks ago, but I really wanted to come back and touch on it in a way that hopefully makes sense with what we're going through in this season. So remember our series title through Ephesians, likeness, embodying Christ's likeness and our call to one another. And this morning's message will be titled Embodying Spirit-Filled Thankfulness in Christ. Let's read in Ephesians 5, and we're going to start in verse 15 today. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In 1621 in Plymouth, the Puritans at the time who had settled there celebrated their first ever Thanksgiving meal during the harvest feast that they commemorated that year. And they would do that year after year, but in 1621, it was a special time where they were looking back at the faithfulness of God. So the Puritans were believers that had brought the word of God. They wanted to come over and settle in these American colonies in order to have the right to pursue their own religion and to not be shackled by the government and its control and its strictures over Great Britain. So they wanted to come over, build a new life, build a new way, and things were hard. That year and the years preceding that, man, there had been lots of disease, lots of pestilence, lots of new things that they were going through as they settled. And also, there was a lot of all over the colonies arising conflict with the Native Americans there who didn't know why the Puritans were settling. And so they went through this hard time of getting things going, building on land and stripping away the trees so they could have crops. And you know, if you're a farmer at all, if you've ever done any kind of like even a little backyard garden, you know this is not easy stuff that they were doing, especially in an untamed land like this. And at the end of it all, they had a harvest. They were celebrating. And they were also celebrating the peace that they got to have with the Native Americans at the time, because they had kind of worked out a pact where the Native Americans saw them as friends in those moments. And they celebrated a feast together, and they got to partake of, you know, all the things that we partake of in our Thanksgiving Day feast that we commemorate every year, you know, pumpkins and squash and corn and even good old cranberries. Some of you guys like that stuff. And Not everybody likes that, but you get the idea. And so it was just the time to remember God's faithfulness. And we're coming up on that time. And I want us to be so focused on all the amazing things that God's done for us through getting to be together as a church family, how God's brought us peace ultimately with himself through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And what a fitting way to kind of begin the week. And I hope that what we learned today, we can bring into our family gatherings and bring this sense of gratitude that God wants to spread to show that we're full of the Spirit, okay? The big takeaway that I'm going to get you to take away today is, you know how full of the Spirit you are. That's the Holy Spirit. You know how full of the Holy Spirit you are by the frequency, the comprehensiveness, and the direction and the foundation of your gratitude. All right. It should be often, and it should be focused on the right things, and it should originate from the right source, right? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Really, we've been in Ephesians in the verses we just read, and you see, he talks about this. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we've been learning all throughout the section that we're in chapter 5, that God wants us to not go back to our Gentile ways. He wants us to remember where we came from and remember what we've been called to. Okay, we've been called to a Christ-like life. The job of the Holy Spirit for all of us is to transform us to a place that he can bring all of us individually into a unity with Jesus, ultimately, a oneness with Christ, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, oneness with his desires, oneness with his purpose and direction, what we've been called to in life, right? And then at the same time, we know that he's doing that in all of the individual parts of the body and the church. So all of us who have really put our faith in Christ all have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's doing this work of transforming us individually into the image of Christ, but then also very specifically and specially as a part of a body that's going to display the full picture of Christ as we unite together. And so that's what he talks about in Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, that the goal of the Spirit is to bring us ultimately into the unity of the faith together. Right? Okay, so it's not a loner life, it's a life together in unity, surrounded by the attributes of Christ and embodying that to the world together. Being a full display of his character and his nature, or a real picture of Christ to the world, right? And we get to do that in our small expression, and then we join with all of the individual church, the real churches out there, the ones that are sold out to Christ, connected with them, and we make up the greater body of Christ together. And that's what the Spirit's doing, okay? And so the Spirit's job is to equip us. Equip means to fill in what's lacking in our faith so that we can have everything we need to walk in the fullness of what we've been called to. Okay, oftentimes when you hear this like filling of the Spirit or being full of the Spirit, you think of a kind of like a charismatic denomination where if someone's full in the Spirit, they're just running around uncontrollably. I saw a video of this on Twitter recently where the Spirit showed up and filled everybody up, and they were like running laps and rolling on the stage and throwing their coats at the pastor while he's teaching and things like that. And it was just like this crazy, chaotic kind of expression. But the reality is, if you know the context, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to see what's lacking in your faith and fill it up with Christ in all the ways that you need. All right? You need to be equipped to fight the enemy. We're coming to this big part at the end, Ephesians 6, the culmination of it all, where we're going to take up the armor of God and fight the cosmic powers and spiritual forces, and to understand this battle that we've been called to, the spiritual battle. And you're going to see this picture of like, you know, taking up the armor of the faith and the word of God and the shield, all the parts of the armor in order to fight off the enemy and then be a display for the picture of Christ. And so this whole book's about equipping us to fight that battle. Make sense? To give us what we're lacking in the faith. All right, so fullness is not this uncontrollable, like, emotional reaction where you just lose control of yourself. In reality, what you see is that it's the opposite. All of the ways that we're expressing being filled with the Spirit have to do with taking on the attributes of the Holy Spirit, which one of them is self-control, right? Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. How do you know someone's in the Spirit? They're going to be a self-controlled person, able to deny their flesh and pursue the things of God, repent of their sin and turn, right? We're turning from being drunk with wine, filling our mind with something that can be a controlling substance that can keep us from following the leading of Christ and his word and the equipping that he's trying to do in us. And then the very next part of how we're filled with the Spirit is what we did earlier. We sang together, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms at that time would have been the actual psalms that they sang, the verses that we read, but we know that they were actually music that choir masters and the Levites would lead the congregation in singing directly word for word from the psalms. Right? Hymns would have been those types of songs that would have been attributed to Christ at the time. New songs that were being written, and then spiritual songs would have been songs that were dedicated to God and their culture, but then now turned towards specifically Jesus at that time, right? And so singing those kind of songs, that's why we sing a lot of different types of songs in here at different points, because we want to express this being filled with the Spirit together, unified expressions that we all know that we can articulate together at the same moment, right? That's what singing's about. And then the next one, verse 20, is giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned last week, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, okay? So gratitude's huge. Gratitude is obviously a result of what will happen when we're singing praises to God together with our songs and with our voices, all right? So like we talked about that, most of the songs are celebrating God's faithfulness, celebrating what he's done, celebrating who he is to us, celebrating what Christ accomplished on the cross, all right? There is that. But I want to dig into really the heart of gratitude today and how we can know that we embody Spirit-filled Christ-likeness with our thankfulness, okay? So here's the first point for the day. As Christians, we embody Spirit-filled Christ-likeness when our thankfulness is continuous in its frequency. And that's what it says here, verse 20. Giving thanks always. How often? Always, all right? Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice, right? It's that kind of impetus here when he's getting across. The mark of true believers and saints in Christ is one of expressing thankfulness continuously, always. It will be an expression that you see in a true believer all the time, all right? And it's really the opposite of worldliness, what we've been learning about, that we need to repent of and put off, right? Enmity with others, including brothers and sisters in Christ, stealing, lying, cursing, impurity, the pursuit of worldly passions and pleasures, sexual sin, all of the things that we've been learning to put off that isn't part of our new life in Christ, isn't part of our new self, when you really trace them back to their root, all these behaviors are a result of a lack of thankfulness to God for what he has said, right? Did God really say that I can't have this, that I can't do this, right? And what he has made available to us in Christ. It's the culmination of the wrath of God being poured out on people who aren't grateful to God. Listen to Romans 1 under the vantage point looking for this word gratitude, thankfulness. Okay, I'm going to read it starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, listen to this, or give thanks to him. Hear that? All right, so God's revealed himself through everything that's made, made himself evident. He's revealed his word plainly to them. And instead of honoring him for who he is and accentuating him and being grateful to him for who he is and what he said, they did the opposite, right? For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up. All right, here's the result of that line of thinking. Their lack of gratitude to God for who he is. Therefore, the curse, right? God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. All right. Quintessential worldliness is this aspect of having complete lack of gratitude to God for who He is, what He cares about, and what He says, right? And as a result of that, God gave them up to what they wanted most. He gave them up to the futility of their mind. And the wrath of God is being poured out because instead of serving Him, which is the truest good, their truest purpose, now they have to spend their lives trying to serve themselves and serving their own passions and pleasures and finding that there's no satisfaction in that pursuit. And the end of that pursuit is only death, separation from God, eternal punishment, ultimately as an enemy of God. Okay, that's not us, right? So we repent of worldliness and we put on Christ's likeness by doing the opposite, specifically expressing gratitude with our tongue to God always, remembering who He is, remembering what He said, and being thankful for every bit of it as often as we can, right? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks of what's truly inside. Complaining and wishful thinking and covetous speech filled with envy reveal an ungrateful heart towards God, a God who's sovereign over all of our condition. But the opposite is true with the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit, remember, is to equip us and to fill us what's lacking in our ungrateful spirit and allow us to ultimately, as it says in Ephesians 3, this was Paul's prayer, be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may all be filled with the fullness of God. All right, I paraphrased that verse and I put it as first person for our church, right? But that's His prayer, that all of the Gentiles would experience that and ultimately that the faith would go out to the Gentiles and come to people like us who would experience the same things that He hoped for the church of Ephesus, right? The fullness of God being filled with the Spirit will inevitably lead to a Spirit-empowered gratitude emulating the life of Jesus. All right, thankfulness is Christ-likeness. Anything less is not. It's proof that you are rooted in Christ when you express gratitude to God. That's what Colossians chapter 2 says. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus in the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving, right? If you're rooted in Him, what's going to happen? Growth, right? Growth. It's going to be abounding. And what? Thanksgiving to God for who He is and what He's done and what He said, everything that He is. Just like if you look at a large tree, I've used this analogy before, you know, especially if you know anything about trees, you know that they have to have deep root systems. Their root systems are even deeper than what you're seeing on the outside. They have to grow super deep in all different directions in order to create stability for a tree and to give it its structure, right? So what you see on the outside is just a small picture of what's happening down below where the roots are growing, right? In that same way, you know how deep your roots are growing in Christ by how big the tree looks on the outside, right? All right, for us, the tree in the metaphor will look like a great amount of gratitude. That's what it'll look like. Not complaining all the time. All right, that's weeds. It's not a big, beautiful tree worthy of praise. That's weeds. That's decay. That's what that'll look like. All right, when you spot weeds, you know death's happening. All right, well, that's complaining. That's ungratitude. That's wishful thinking. That's covetousness. That's the speech that's revealed. The opposite's true for us, hopefully. True gratitude will be expressed outwardly, like a tree grows outside of the ground to be seen and evident to all what it really is, okay? And that's why he says this, giving thanks always. All right, giving thanks is key. That's verbalization. That's an expression, right? Gratitude needs to be expressed outwardly, verbally, for in its truest sense to be the heart of gratitude that God's talking about here. The fullness of Christ in us, okay? There's a lot of people that I know that have trouble expressing gratitude to people around them. for basic things, right? We often, in our equipping our children to grow into like maturity in the faith, we talk about this idea of like, hey, one of the big goals we have for our family that I want you to pray for is that we would turn our words into words that are edifying and uplifting to one another in our own family, right? And then also to the people outside of us. And so we've been talking about that. We're pursuing goals. We're celebrating those kind of things. But so often when you talk to like kids, even, and you say, hey, like, you know, why aren't you saying thankful words to other people? Why aren't you expressing gratitude to others for the things that they do for you? Well, what they'll come back and say often, and you probably think this yourself for your own self, right? Like, well, I am grateful, right? I am. I don't want to lose any of the stuff I have, right? I like the fact that I have it. I like the people in my life. I don't want to lose them, right? And that's important. That's a good place to start. But like where gratitude becomes Christ-likeness is when it's expressed outwardly, often. All right, and that's what he's saying, giving thanks. It's not just something that like you take for granted and every so often when you happen to get back to this idea, you're like, you know what? I really am grateful. I really do have a lot of things to be thankful for, right? A person who's constantly pursuing being excellent, expressing gratitude, doesn't ever have to think that way because they're constantly pursuing it and trying to excel. They'll be saying it, right? And I would encourage you guys in this, like, this is something that we need to be doing for sure to God, but like also to the people made in his likeness. We have so many opportunities to express gratitude. And how often do you practice that throughout your day? How often do you just express gratitude for the things that you don't want to stop happening, that you like, that you love, for who people are to you, right? All right, this goes for husbands to wives. I'm going to tell you, like, as you lead men, your family, you can be so hard on pursuing, like, all of the things that God tells you to pursue that sometimes you can get so focused on the perfection of it all that you forget to express the gratitude for all of the steps that are being taken in the meantime. Right? We're going to talk about that in Ephesians, about fathers sometimes provoking their children to wrath. And I think a big way that fathers provoke their children to wrath is they aren't grateful to their children with their words expressing like, hey, that was awesome. Keep going. I'm so grateful that you took what I said to heart and you really tried to pursue that, right? Instead, they feel like they can never live up to it because there's always one more thing to grow because, you know, we're trying to move people into Christ's likeness and that's perfection, right? That's tough. That's tough when we're not acknowledging and we're not grateful for all of the things in our lives. You know, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, right? I'm going to tell you, so many marriages would not be ending in this world from people who profess to be Christians if they had just spent a lot more time expressing gratitude for each other and remembering what they really do have in one another instead of focusing on all of the things that need to get better, right? Huge, huge deal. Parents to kids, like I said, kids to parents. Kids, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a lot more peace in your life if you can look around you and see all of the ways in which God has allowed your parents to pursue things that ultimately are blessings from him, right? Like just things that we take for granted. I mean, how many of you have gone without a meal for any long period of time, right? You just have food. Kids, you have food, right? Every day, your parents provide those things for you. Little babies, they don't even know it, but they're going to one day be grateful because all of the ways in which parents provided for them so they could get to a point where they're your age, right? They're going to have to look back, and I hope that they all express gratitude because they learned to express it from the way that you guys live your life, right? But look, I mean, so many things, food, shelter, clothing, love, care, even discipline. Discipline is love, you know, shouting out, hey, don't run that way. That way is going to lead to the destruction of your soul. Don't run that way. That's parents loving you enough to keep you from harm because God has put them there to do it, right? Bosses to employees. I'm telling you, if you're a boss in this room, just say you're thankful to people for the things that they do when you have those things. Find ways to be thankful. I'm telling you, people will love to work for you because most bosses don't ever do that, right? It's just the truth. And then obviously, this is what we're talking about today, especially Christians, to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We take so much of what God's done for granted, and we don't express as often as we should. Like just the fact that we get to have peace and hope all the time. We don't have to worry about the things of this world, that we know that God's going to take care of us, that He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He says, come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to give you rest for your soul. He gives us rest for our souls, all right? The ultimate punishment for our sin is paid for because He did it, and He was gracious and generous to give that to us. Man, we take those things for granted, and we get about the things of this world, and when things don't go our way, sometimes we forget all of the ways in which ultimately God has paid the price. And that's why when people get to the end of their life, they start thinking about what's really important, and they start remembering to be grateful to God because they know that the ultimate things are coming, right? And it's because God uses that to put our life into perspective. But if we had the true perspective we needed to have, we could have that peace all the time. We could have it all the time, right? Expressing gratitude is life-giving to others. And it could be so glorifying to the Father, especially if you bring Him into it. All right, I want to encourage you in that way too, that if you can bring God into your expressions of gratitude to one another, man, that could be like a double whammy, like in a good way, right? Look, I'm so thankful that God has brought you into my life. I'm saying that to y'all, but that's something we need to be saying to one another. I'm so grateful that God orchestrated that. I prayed for friends. I prayed for family. I prayed for a helpmate. I prayed for faces to be in these seats, and God did that, right? He made that happen, and now I get to care for you, and you care for me and my family. Like, wow, God did that, and we need to express that all the time to one another. Those kind of things, you express that to your family, right? I'm so thankful that God has worked in each of you and grown you in the faith, like He promises that He will be, because I get to see His light in you living out the Christ-like life as you serve one another. That's amazing. I'm so thankful to God that that's happening and that God's working in you and that you're cognizant of that and you want to follow His leading. Man, just keep it up. It encourages my faith. You get what I'm saying? Those kind of things, when you bring God into your expressions of gratitude, it's big. So often we don't have peace with others because we fail to remember all the things that we are thankful to God for in others and what He has given us in others. And if we aren't at peace with others, we aren't at peace with God. That's really the heart of a lot of the section we're in, because He's talking about a church dealing with one another, right? He's talking about, hey, put off lying, put off being angry, put off holding grudges towards one another. Put on reconciliation, right? Like, we need to be a church that's known for the true reconciliation of God. If at all, we can help it, if we can control that. And what it looks like is letting go of our bitterness. Don't let it take root. It means going and being reconciled and having hard conversations and loving conversations. That's the point of all of this, right? And a lot of you get that when it comes to the church family, but you're about to go to Thanksgiving gatherings where, unfortunately, a lot of these Christ-like traits aren't lived out. And like, so a lot of you, like, there's a lot of anxiety associated with going to Thanksgiving, right? Isn't there? I've got this one person who doesn't like what I'm doing, and they're gossiping about me to the rest of the family, and they're talking bad about me, and I don't even want to have a conversation with them because I'm going to have to see them, and I'm going to have to try to find a way to avoid that conversation, because they bring that up, I might yell at them in front of everybody, right? You know, like, I'm making this up. That's hypothetical. But you guys have those kind of situations, or have in the past, right? We're tempted. Families are that way because there's all this unreconciled bitterness and frustration. But Thanksgiving is a time to remember what you have, what God has given you, what He has done for you. You can focus in on those things, even with the hard people in your life. Man, God has a way of making Philippians 4 true in this situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, all right? Even your Thanksgiving gatherings, all right? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. All right? If you got any apprehension going into your Christmas time, your Thanksgiving gatherings, just know that means that you need to be in a state of prayer. That's what it says here. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, go to God in prayer. Prostrate yourself before God. Remember who He is. Supplicate, right? Ask Him for help, but in a reverent kind of way, knowing that He's a Father who wants to help, right? Worship Him for who He is. Remember what He's done already. Express gratitude for those things. Express it. show him thankfulness. Thank you so much that I get to go and be with my family. And that I get to like be Christ-like in this situation. And even though I have some stuff that I need to let go of, number one, let me let go of it. Let me love them like you love me and relinquish this debt that I'm trying to enact on them. Help me let go of that. Help me really love them in a Christ-like way. See them as a new person. All right, pursue reconciliation. Have those hard talks if you need to have it. Let go of those stupid small offenses, the ways in which people annoy you. Right? Let go of your childish annoyances and just like be an adult in Christ, right? Fully filled with the Spirit, full of gratitude for the opportunity that you get to live in this moment. And God's giving you this moment. And he's giving you the money and the resources and the provision and all the things necessary to walk in him in this moment, right? So that's Thanksgiving, but that should be just like life. That should be every day when we wake up. Make the best use of the days, as it says here, right? Gratitude will lead to that. All right, Christian peace is what he promises here. And the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the key in the middle of this that unlocks it, that we skip over, is this aspect of gratitude. We can't skip it. Christian peace is evident to those who practice gratitude by expressing it to others and especially to God. All right, it's different. It's authentic, it's genuine, and it's evidence of the Spirit's filling work in your life, all right? Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Praise is an expression of gratitude in the form of worship. That's what it is, continually. It should always be evident, it should always be on our lips. As Christians, we embody Spirit-filled Christ-likeness when our thankfulness is, number one, continuous in its frequency, and number two, comprehensive in its scope. It says that. That's what it says. Giving thanks always for everything, right? For what? Always and for everything. Right. Y'all didn't want to say that one as loud. That's okay, though. Paul says this all over Scripture. This is all over the place. It's not just here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. You want to quench the Spirit and not experience the fullness of the Spirit in your life, all right? Reject these things. Reject opportunities to rejoice. And it says rejoice always, at all times, right? Pray. How often? Without ceasing. Go to God and express these things to him. Give thanks when? In all circumstances. All right? So that means like the really good stuff that you've been looking forward to and planning for, right? That's going exactly like you want it to go. That means that? Yeah. Give thanks for that, for sure. But in all the things that you didn't plan for and all the things that popped up that you were dreading would one day happen, all right? What about those things? Yeah, those are all things. Those are opportunities to give thanks. And if we want to walk in our Christ-likeness and we walk in the fullness of the Spirit, then we're going to be self-controlled and have the ability to turn our minds to the truth of who God is, and even in the hard times, right? Even when things don't go the way we want them to go, that we would have, if we were God, you know, we would have planned it different or orchestrated it differently. Here's the deal, like God's sovereign and he has a lot of stuff he's doing through what he allows. And part of being a Christ follower is remembering who he is when these things happen and really pursuing him at all costs when these things do, all right? So it means everything, the seemingly good and the seemingly bad circumstances of life. All right, it's easy to be grateful when things are going your way, right? Your way, exactly like you planned it. But what about the opposite? Well, you know that you're full of the Spirit when even when those things happen that most people would dread, you're able to truly, from your heart of heart, express gratitude to God in those moments, all right? Even when you don't understand exactly what he's doing, all right? I'm going to give you a small, like, minuscule way. So, like, we went to the FSU game last night or yesterday. So we got back at 4 a.m. I just took my boys to it. FSU's Florida State University. We're fans, right? And we had a running joke that every time we actually go to a game, everything falls off the rails, right? So we were like, there's no way that we're playing North Alabama tomorrow and anything could go bad, right? Like, we should just kill them. It should just be one of those things, right? Well, a lot of things for me, I wasn't thankful like I should have been on the way up. So the trip didn't go like it should go, right? And we got there a little later, and then we didn't get to eat dinner because I didn't plan well enough to find a parking space. And then we had to wait to eat expensive stadium food because everybody was starving like really bad by the time we actually got in. We missed a few things we wanted to get to. All right, and so then the game starts. If you guys saw it last night, you know that like we're down 13-0 to North Alabama. They share a field of practice with high school kids. Okay? Then we get the ball. And our Heisman, they've been talking about him as one of them. He wouldn't have won it, but he was great. Gets his leg snapped in half. It's so terrible. And I felt bad for him. Carted off the field. Last game as a senior, you know. We're rated number 4. So like, I got to kind of like practice some of this. I was thinking about the message as we were down there, and I'm like, okay, this isn't all thing. This isn't everything. Like, how can I express gratitude right now? And, you know, it was neat. Me and the boys, like, they were having fun, and we got to be with my family. And God has set aside a bunch of time for us just to go do that together. I got to go with Chad and his family. And, like, we got to do something we didn't get to do. We could build a memory. And I started just thinking about how God was so faithful. And then I had some people behind me that were like, hey, you have a beautiful family, you know? And they were like telling me how awesome my kids were because they had seen like joy in them and like just they were loved and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, this is what the point of this was, right? It wasn't about, you know, finding my identity and, you know, number 13 who got his leg snapped, you know? It wasn't about that. It was about spending time, you know, like that kind of deal. And so like all of a sudden God allowed me to kind of turn. You get what I'm saying, right? There's these moments that God's given us. Sometimes we miss the point. There's so much gratitude that can be had in every situation if we could think about what God is really doing in those moments, right? All right. Philippians 4 verse 11 says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then he does the quintessential verse that everybody uses out of context. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All right, so you've learned through pop culture and Steph Curry that this means you can hit a half-court shot, right? Like whenever you want to, more often than another person if you really put your mind to it. You've learned that you can face your giants, right? But the real giant that Paul's facing here is the giant of being out of control with the circumstances of life. That's the giant, right? And what does he say? I've been brought really low. I've been hungry. I've been without. And I've had a lot. I've had it both ways. And I've learned through Christ, this is the all things he can do. This is the promise he's claiming. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's he being strengthened to do? To be content in all circumstances. To be able to express to God gratitude no matter what happens in life. Because he knows God's in control and doing exactly what he promised he would do. Even if you don't understand it in the moment. Right? Job 121, Job says this, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Then what does he do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. That's praise. That's gratitude, right? That's thankfulness. And this was like he lost everything. It's like he lost all of his family. They all died besides his wife who was a complainer, right? They all died. He lost all his crops. He lost his house. Most of us have never lost near that, right? He lost it all. Everything that we pursue with our strength in this life, he lost it. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. I'm grateful. He's my God, right? He didn't reject God. God knew it. He was being tested, sifted, so that God will receive praise in that moment, all right? Look, even when you're wronged by others, yeah, you can do all things. Even then, you can praise God, right? Genesis 5:20, Joseph, who was sold into slavery, tells his brothers who sold him into slavery, as far as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. All right, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And that's the promise that we have as Christians, is that even when people on the outside or even in people in this room who are supposed to be your brothers and sisters, even when they mean evil for you, God uses it for the good, right? Romans 8:28 through 30 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things, all right, this is all things, right? I can do all things, all things. work together, all circumstances work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who he foreknew, and he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called, and those who he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What does he say? God works all things together for the good of those who love him and those who have been called according to his purpose. If you're sitting here, Christian, in this room, God predestined you to have all of these things. He's working it out. This is the good he's working out. You're going to be predestined through all of the things of life to be conformed into the image of the Son. Christ-likeness, that's the series, right? Unity in the faith. All things are going to work together to make that happen. You can just know that's happening. You can be grateful that that's happening. I can be grateful that that's happening even in the hard things of life, even when people turn on you, right? Even when things are out of your control, God's in control doing this in you. It will happen. It's a promise. And he's called you. He's going to justify you before the Father. You're going to have an inheritance in heaven. It's going to happen. That's what God's doing every time, every time. And then he says this, Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Promise. It's going to happen. Stuff to be grateful for. Amen? Even when we're wronged by others, don't understand the circumstances in life in the moment, the pursuit to express gratitude to God pushes us to remember his true character, to remember what he has done for us, which is so much, right? And to remember his faithfulness despite our lack of faith so often. And gratitude pushes us to see his handiwork in everything that's happening around us. It'll push you to truth, right? Not the lie. You won't listen to the lies and the slander of the enemy and the slander of others. When you pursue gratitude, you're going to remember what's true. And what's true will set you free from anxiousness and set you free to be the praise of God the Father to this world, Christ-likeness, right? All right, as Christians, we embody Spirit-filled Christ-likeness when our thankfulness is continuous in its frequency, comprehensive in its scope, and Godward in its direction. Godward in its direction. All right, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. That's key. That's big. I know that like it goes without saying. I've kind of alluded to it, but we need to be really careful. I'm like, look, there's lots of people in this world that are grateful for stuff, right? So like most of the people in the world that celebrate Thanksgiving, they aren't Christians, right? Pagans are grateful, but not to God. False religions are grateful to the wrong God, often for the right things, right? For things they should be grateful about, but they're grateful to the wrong God. Heretics are thankful to the right God about wrong things, right? They're praising God for seemingly keeping promises that he never made, right? So like there's all different types of people that express gratitude. The difference between them and us is that we understand that we serve the one true God and that our gratitude, anything that we have that we are comforted by, anything that we have that we feel any peace about that's based in truth, hopefully, any of those things, it only comes from the one true Yahweh God, the Father, from the beginning, right? James talks about this kind of God. James 5:16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, right? What does it say? Every good gift, everything that is good and everything that is perfect, anything like that. So like the real gifts, they only come from the one true God. And that's where we have to get always to express gratitude to the one true God for the things that are good and perfect and true, the things that he wanted to give, the things that he promised he would give us, right? So often we forget to thank God for the small things that he does every day and to really like go to him and attribute those things to him. We've talked in the past about answered prayer requests. So often like we're doing these prayer requests and we're putting them on our list and we're praying and it's like, good, we should be doing that. We should be interceding for one another. But then God answers those prayers. And how often is the response like, okay, let's move on. I've got a new thing to add to the list. Let's cross that one off, right? But how often do we take a moment, not just like a small moment, but like a large moment and say, God, I've been praying for this for years and you answered this, right? You answered it. It took you a while. You did it in a way I didn't expect it, but you did. You answered. What about all the times we've talked about this? We're praying for like health. Hey, God's over all that stuff. You know, how often do we pray for like, hey, help us feel better, God? And then, you know, you get over the flu. Everybody knows that like most people get over the flu, right? Or get over like a little cold or sinus infection or feeling bad or having a headache or all the things that we pray for. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for those things, but I do think that we should stop praying for those things if we're not going to thank God when he answers. You understand what I'm saying? We just pretend like that was a foregone conclusion. Like we were entitled for God to heal us of our cold. We were entitled for God to like help us get over COVID, whatever it is, right? We're just like, yeah, of course God's going to do that. We don't have to tell him thank you for that. All right. I'm not trying to step on, like I have to work on this myself because I take so much for granted. God does these things all the time. He's constantly healing us. He's constantly fixing our boo-boos. He's constantly making our life better. He's constantly giving us new jobs and helping us move up in our careers and giving us more knowledge of things and giving us influence. He's doing all these things. And sometimes we can think that we're doing that stuff in our own strength and not really attribute it to like, oh, well, God like made me this way. And like he formed me in my mother's womb. He gave me this capacity. He gave me this ability to learn these things. He gave me the strength of my hands and this body that allows me to work with my strength in this way. He's given me the capacity to kind of keep my kids alive every day, right? Like if you have kids, he did that. He's keeping them alive, by the way. All right. It's an illusion if you think you are, but whatever you are doing, he gave you that. He showed you the way to that. He's given you wisdom. He's given you influences in your life. How often do you thank God for those things, right? There's so much to thank God for, and we can't forget him. Spirit-filled people express thankfulness to God like Christ practiced in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These are the types of things that he's praying for. Hallowed be your name. God, you're over all these things. You're over it all. If I'm going to have any of this or have the ability to do any of this, it comes from you, Jesus says. Simple stuff, right? But Jesus said, we should model this every day. Bring your kingdom as quickly as possible and help me live for that implication, right? Be focused on your will being done with this moment I've been given. Please give me my daily bread. And then what does God do? He gives it to us. Right? Gratitude every day. And then God, forgive me my debts. We get to walk around if we're confessing our sin to God, free of any debt from God, free of any sin, guilt and shame. Gratitude, we should be saying it all the time. Thank you, God, for forgiving me my debts. Thank you so much that I don't have to live with the things that I've done in the past, that you've forgiven me. You made a way through Christ, right? We sometimes get so used to God providing these things, we take them for granted and we don't express the gratitude we should, right? So, last point, it'll be quick. As Christians, we embody spirit-filled Christ-likeness when our thankfulness is continuous in its frequency, comprehensive in its scope, Godward in its direction, and exclusive in its foundation. Okay, this is big. All right, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of who? The Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Jesus is Lord. He's over all. This is the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That's why he humbled himself to the point of taking on human flesh, dying on the cross, Philippians talks about, right? This is at that name. So Jesus is the one who makes all true gratitude possible. I want you to get this. Christians are the only ones that can truly be grateful to the one true God. We are the only ones that have the ability to do this. Do you understand that? Because anything that happens to someone outside of Christ is not a blessing. It's not. Most often, pretty much always, it's actually a curse. Because instead of them serving God, the creator of everything, what does it say? They've been given over to a debased mind, serving the creature rather than the creator. So their whole purpose in life is not to serve the one true God. They see things through that vantage point, all right? So anything they're given in this life for them is serving their own passions and pleasures. It's about them having things outside of the purpose they've been given and created for in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And all it does is it reinforces their spiral into depravity, right? Because the more they obtain, the more they're going to want, right? The Bible says that. They're never satisfied. They're always pursuing more. And even the seemingly good things in life, they aren't blessings to them, because blessings will lead you to purpose and your one true God. Satisfaction in Him ultimately. Make sense what I'm saying? Anything that takes you away from expressing true gratitude to God is an idol. It's a curse. This is why we have to be careful as Christians, because if we're not pursuing things that are leading to gratitude to God, then most likely they're idols in our life. Go with me? True blessings will lead to gratitude towards God based on truth. And so, look, this is amazing. We get the opportunity to do this. We're the only ones. Why? Because it's through Christ Jesus. It's in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, that all of this is made possible. 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 20 through 22 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. That is why it's through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it's God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and has put a seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." The Spirit who's bringing about the fullness, right, that will lead to gratitude. What is He doing? He's expressing it right there. All of the promises of God, everything that He ever promised to anyone, His children, are only found in Christ. When God sent Jesus, He said yes to every promise He ever made. The only way that you can benefit from that and have any sense in which you can express gratitude is to put your faith in Jesus as Lord. Make sense? And then you have the ability to live this out, to move into Christ's likeness in this way. All right, we have so much to celebrate in the gospel because God said yes to everything He ever promised. Psalm 103, 1 through 4, promise of God. They proclaim this: "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." That's only true in Christ, right? It's only true in Him. God said yes in Christ to that. 1 Chronicles 16, 34 through 36. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, and glory be in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." God said yes to that. He sent Christ. And all of that was made possible. Everything that they were praying for and singing and proclaiming the truth was made possible in Christ. And now we, as Gentiles, are grafted into those very same promises, and we get to benefit spiritually in all the ways that God says because of what Christ did when He died on the cross for us. All right? It's pretty cool, right? Makes sense? As Christians, we embody Spirit-filled Christ-likeness when our thankfulness is continuous in its frequency, comprehensive in its scope, Godward in its direction, and exclusive in its foundation. It's in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We've been learning in Ephesians that all of this is made possible, that all of the promises that we see in Ephesians 1, how we've been predestined since the foundations of the world to be children of God, to be adopted into the family of God, to be taken from enemies of God to people that are as close to Him as blood, right? Why has it happened? Through the blood of Christ shed on the cross, right? In Christ, what He did. We're about to celebrate Christmas, Him just coming and humbling Himself, living a life that we couldn't live, taking on human flesh, incarnation, all of it in Christ. And so my hope is when you guys go to your Thanksgiving gatherings with the family, you don't forget this mission we've been given, the mission of the gospel. And look, the gospel is so adequately expressed through gratitude. The theme of thankfulness, thanksgiving. Man, that should be on our lips. That should be on our hearts. All right, when people ask you about your life and what God's done for you, man, as a person that's filled with the Spirit of God, able to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can turn your complaints. You can do all things. And turn your complaints about the way things are going in your life to praise to God, just like that. It can happen, right? God can receive so much glory through our church family going out and just doing this mission among people that we're going to love on for a little bit this week. And I hope and pray that that'll happen. all right? That God can show himself rich. That we can express things like Ephesians 2. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins. She once walked following the curse of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the prince that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But listen to this. This is praise. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that at the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. And you get to walk in it this week, right? And all the lead up too, like it should be gratitude for everything that God's done. This is the fulfillment of Paul's prayer that we would know the fullness of the love of God, right? This is the fulfillment of it, these moments. All right. So what could that look like in our church and in our lives individually? Right. So my prayer was that we be a church that would ever grow to walk worthy of this calling we received in God, uniting as the body of Christ who represents the kingdom of heaven together, citizens sold out to honoring God above all, transcending these schemes of the devil, embodying spirit-filled thankfulness in Christ as we faithfully walk this life of ministry he's prepared us to walk together until he comes back and brings new heaven and new earth together. And we get to see our King and know him fully. It's a privilege. And let's respond to that.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.